happy. And I love the slide that Matt made here. You see somebody reaching there, and I want you just to take a minute and kind of soak in the visual of that. A lot of people are visual learners, and I'm talking about choosing happy. And the reason I chose that title is because it, you know, happy doesn't just happen. There's some choices we have to make. That's what we're going to introduce today. We can program happiness into our lives. We can program it. There are things we can do. And this is something that, honestly, I believe that the vast majority of the population, whether we're talking about the church population, the Christian population, you know, whatever it is, or just the general population, it's missed. People want to be happy, I think. Now, there are a few people, the exceptions to that, I think. I've met a few people that I feel like, you just don't want to be happy. You just like being that way, and but that's not the majority. The majority of people want to be happy, but let's be honest, they're not. They're not. The vast majority of our world is not happy. I mean, look at the condition of our world. We could say, you know, I think a lot of people get the idea, well, because our world is so bad, that's why I'm unhappy. No, that's not true. It's because you are unhappy, and so many other yous are unhappy, and me's are unhappy. That's what makes the world so bad. Oh, now, some of you you're not sure if you agree with that. That's fine. But who was that? Was that Cooper? Get him out of here. He almost punched me. I came up during that dancing song, and I was gonna move his hips a little bit, and he came up like that, like a reaction. I mean, I think he was like a flashback, you know, somewhere. It's like, oh, dude, it's okay. So, but Mauricio saw it, didn't you, Mauricio? And but listen, the reason that most people, I believe I can prove this to you in the next 4 weeks. The reason the world is so messed up is because people are not choosing happy. And if God's people don't choose it, if God's people don't do it, then who's going to? And how are we ever going to win the lost if we're miserable? How are we ever going to convince somebody that what we have is great? The Savior we have is amazing. The life we live is a good life. How are we ever going to convince them to accept the Savior that we believe brings us this if we're not happy? So give me the next 4 weeks to kind of share this. And I think a lot of times people are living around there that we have these expressions, seeing things like, well, I'm just looking for happiness. I'm just hoping to find happiness somewhere. You know, happiness cannot be found. It can only be planned for and produced in your life. It's a result of something, and that's what I'll be talking about. So let me give you an overview, let you know where we're going for the next 4 weeks, actually. Today's going to be kind of an introduction, but let me tell you where the next 3 weeks are going to go. So first of all, next week, I'm going to be talking about happiness is always associated with things we don't really realize. First of all, number one, happiness is associated more with, go ahead and give me this slide if you would please, has more to do with, number one, who than what. This is going to be a big point for a lot of people. A lot of people are looking for happiness in the what's in our lives. Number two, the 2 weeks from that, happiness has more to do with expectations than it does situations. And I'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. And then thirdly, happiness has more to do with giving than getting. Now, I'm giving you these things because I don't know what the issue is for many in the room, but I promise you there's a truth embedded in each one of these, plus what I'm going to talk about today, that if we'll take all four and we'll implement them in our lives, then I believe 30 days from now, the people in this room and the people that we know could actually be happy. You say, well, I won't be able to be happy because I'm still going to have my money problems. Your happiness has nothing whatsoever to do with your money problems. Amen. It doesn't. I'm going to prove that to you. And, well, my health is still bad. Okay, my health is bad too. Everybody's health is bad, except for Jeremy's, right? Everybody else's health is bad. So anyway, we'll kind of get into it. So let me begin today. Let me begin today. Give you a couple of statements here. Let me say this: being happy is a state of being. It's not a It's not a changing condition of your situation. When I say, okay, most people say, well, if I just had this, I would be happy. No, being happy, let me say it this way. Either you are happy or you're not happy. Now follow me. You can be unhappy, but experience occasional pleasure. See, I'm going to get into this. You can be happy and experience some very, very sad situations. I was with a family yesterday that if you've ever been to a, quote, funeral that I do, it's not really a funeral. It's more like a game show. But but honestly, there was so much more laughter than there were tears. And that's how it should be. That's how it should be. Happiness is a state of being. You're happy. You may experience, if you're a happy person, you can experience some very negative things on a daily basis, but you can still be happy. You can experience some very positive things also, but neither one of those things should really affect whether or not you're happy. And so, and this is what I want to kind of teach us. Some people say, well, sometimes I'm happy and sometimes I'm not. No. Sometimes you are just experiencing some pleasure. Sometimes you're having a, how many people you heard somebody say, well, I hope I have a good day. Right? I hope I have a good day. I promise you, in this world of ours, there ain't no good days. There really aren't. There really aren't. But that doesn't have anything to do with being happy. So there's kind of two philosophies we could take into life. And please give some real thought as I say these. Give some thought as to which one of these is yours. So one philosophy is, what I experience today either makes me happy or makes me unhappy. This is where most of our world is. Most of our world says, okay, we wake up, we don't say it in words, but we think it and we operate this way. So whatever happens to me today, whatever if I do well at work, if I don't do well at work, if I have this happens, if I win the lottery, if I do this, if I don't get sick, if I do, whatever happens to me today will determine whether or not I'm happy or unhappy. That is the most common philosophy in our world, but it is dead wrong. Isn't it, Bill? It's dead wrong. The other philosophy, and the one that God, I think, wants us to understand and really adopt into our lives, is this. I am a happy person. Today may bring me some possible positive things or some possible negative things, but neither of those change whether or not I'm happy. So now, where is the root of all this? So the root of all this has to do then with two words that I've already used several times, and here's what they are. Happiness and pleasure. Most of our world, and most of us, if we don't purposefully sit down and really think about this, we confuse these two, or we think that they're the same thing. Happiness and pleasure. Happiness and pleasure are not the same things, though. Happiness, as I said, is a state of being. Pleasure is a temporary positive experience. Now look, is there anything wrong with pleasure? Of course not. Nothing wrong with pleasure. God wants us to have pleasure. But if we fall into the trap of this world of seeking pleasure first or seeking pleasure exclusively, we actually undermine our chance at being happy. See, now let me explain why. So how does that work? Well, let's just look at, okay, what are some easy examples? Pick any addictive behavior. Look, and by the way, we've all got some addictive behaviors. How many of you don't have an addictive behavior? No, never mind. I don't want to make you lie in church. Here's your addictive behavior. We've all got an addictive behavior. Let's do some easy ones. I'll even skip over the real easy ones. Right, take food. Let's talk about food for a minute. So, food. Now watch. And food is something that we all enjoy, right? No, we should. So, now look. But food is one of those things where a lot of people think that food will bring them happiness. But food is simply a way to get some pleasure. If we seek it as a pleasure, in other words, if we make food our sole go-to thing, if we make food our focus, then what ends up happening? It ends up affecting our health. We end up, you see, you picture this person who maybe they're feeling lonely, they're all alone, and they use food as a source of pleasure, so they sit at home, it affects our health, and we start feeling bad, and then what happens? Depression and guilt. And so what happens? We have undermined our chance at being happy because we sought pleasure. On the other hand, though, what if we saw food as a source of building a relationship with somebody? You see, if the object isn't the food, if our goal isn't the food, but rather it's sharing a meal with our family, the time we spend. Look, I could go and buy a pizza and eat the whole thing by myself. But wait, but if I take Nick with me, and I take Kelly with me, and I don't want to take anybody else with me. It's, three's all we need for that pizza. Now look, if I go with four people, you know, if there's four of us going, and we each eat a couple of pieces, but we have spent a couple of hours together, guess what happens? It's no longer, the pizza wasn't the goal of pleasure. Instead, we got to share the relationship. The relationship was the goal. That's what we were doing. The food was a method to just get us together. And then that produces happiness. Do you see my point about that? And we could go through any addictive behavior we have like that. We could talk about, you know, this is why we have these kind of addictive behaviors. You know, alcohol is an easy example. You know, we could look at alcohol as if people are looking at alcohol as their source of pleasure. In other words, man, I'm going to drink this. What happens? They end up drinking to get drunk. Because we're only after that pleasure, only after that sensation, only after that buzz and all that great feeling. Instead of using that, instead of letting our moderation build relationships with the people we're with. Are you following me on that? See, and instead, and using moderation with that, instead we're building relationships with people, and that leads to happiness. So you know, and doesn't lead to the, you know, to the other end. So where is the whole source of all this? So what is the spiritual and biblical basis for this? Well, here we go. So the spiritual and biblical basis of this, let me give you some scripture so you don't think I'm just, you know, talking because I didn't get any sleep last night. There's a passage in scripture that many people know. If you've been to church much in your life, you have heard a passage in the book of Galatians. Paul was writing to the church at Galatia, and it's a passage we'll often refer to as sowing and, say it, reaping. Sowing and reaping. So this concept of sowing and reaping is something that we, if you've been in church much, you know. But the Bible was written at a time really when those two words made a lot more sense to people than they do today. You know, if you go out in our world today and you talk about sowing and reaping, people have kind of heard that, but they don't really know what it means. It was an agrarian society back in the Bible days. So let me give you some different words for these two. Instead of sowing and reaping, we could talk about actions or decisions that we make and then predictable results. Isn't that what sowing and reaping is? You know, back in the, again, Bible days, you plant a corn seed, you know you're going to get a corn stalk. That's how it works. You plant beans, you're going to get beans. In the same way, and the principle that Paul was trying to teach here was that your actions, what you choose to do, is going to have some predictable results. Now, I think a lot of times we fool ourselves. Well, I know every time I've done this in the past, it's ended up this way, but I think this time will be different. Right? Well, I mean, I know I saw all my friends do this, and and it worked out badly for them. But I'm different. I mean, it'll be different for me. I think sometimes we think that God will suspend the laws of nature for us sometimes, but that's not the truth. The truth of the matter is, for most of us, we're never really surprised by the results that we get, or we shouldn't be. We act it. But the truth of the matter is, most of the time, we know that our actions have predictable results. We usually think of that in a negative context, though, don't we? We think of that in a negative context, in light of what I'm talking about here, you know, about things we choose to do and having negative, but it can also be the positive. So let me show you the scripture now. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Here we go. So here's what the Bible said about that. Be not deceived. In other words, don't be stupid. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, or as we just said, whatever he decides to do today, whatever you and I decide to do today, that is what he will reap. In other words, that is what he will get as a predictable result. So the choice that I make today of what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, where I'm going to go, who I'm going to be with, you know, what I'm going to put in my body, what I'm going to do with my body, what I'm going to watch with my eyes, what I'm going to listen to with my ears, all of these things that we talk about, all these decisions that we make, how I'm going to use this, you know, whether I'm going to pull out a credit card, whether I'm going to you know, not use this, whether I'm going to say no to myself, or whether I'm going to say yes to myself. All of those things are the decisions that we, that's what we're sowing. Now, I was talking about the idea of pleasure versus happiness. So that means that if we sow for pleasure, in fact, let's look at the next verse. Look at verse number 8. For he that sows or seeks pleasure for his flesh will reap corruption. But you say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense, because if I sow for pleasure, I'm going to get pleasure. And by the way, that's true. Well, listen, if you want to go out and pursue pleasure, you will find pleasure. That's a fact. If your goal is to pleasure your body, there are many, many, many things we can go to do that. They're not all bad. So if my goal, okay, if my goal is pleasure for my flesh, then I can find pleasure. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with that is that it's temporary. It's temporary. Pleasure is temporary. And when pleasure is done, we're left without happiness. But watch. But I'm going to give you some examples of this. But if we will instead do the things that sow happiness in our lives, then guess what? We actually can have both pleasure and happiness. Let me give you some examples. Let's just kind of think our way, you know, through some examples of this. You know, as we think about that. So you know, if we're going to talk about pleasure, you know, sometimes maybe we have to forego the pursuing of pleasure in order to make happy the goal. For example, how about if we forego the temporary pleasure of getting drunk for the permanent joy of building a relationship? Wow. Forgo the temporary pleasure of getting drunk to actually enjoy the time that you are sitting and drinking casually with somebody else. Now, I know there's some of you, it bothers you when I talk about that. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't think you ought to be talking about drinking in church. It sounds like you're endorsing it. I'm not endorsing getting drunk. I'm just endorsing doing what Jesus did, which was share a little wine at a wedding. And that's what he did. And that's an example. But the point is, what are we focused on? What are we focused on? Well, let me move on to something that some of you will you'll like better. Forgo the temporary pleasure of overeating alone for the permanent happiness of a friendship built over moderation. Look, this is what our men's group is doing, right, Mauricio? Right, guys? This is what they're doing. They get together on a Tuesday night, and they eat, right? There's always food, yes? Always food. But that's not the goal. They're not going with the goal of seeking the pleasure of the food. They're using food as an excuse to get together, right? I mean, it's just a tool. It's a medium to carry them to get together and share some time together. And they're building relationships together because they're sharing a meal. But if they were going only for the food, they would meet at the Chinese buffet and then they would be miserable. And they wouldn't want to be together. Isn't that right, Diane? Look, and if there's ever a great example of this very thing, go to the Chinese buffet after church today. Go there and eat all you can and enjoy it. And you will find that your happiness 20 minutes later is gone. I mean gone, gone. You'll be the most miserable person. You'll go home and you'll take a nap. You'll be doing the sumo wrestler diet, you know, eating and napping. And look, this is the point. But see, these guys are getting together and they're sharing a meal, but it's not about the food. It's about who they're with. Amen. The relationship is what they're after. They say, well, okay, this seems so simple. What does this mean? But this is not what we do, folks. We are seeking pleasure in most of our life. Look, think about your life. Now think about it. Most of the time, we're seeking pleasure in our lives, not realizing that pleasure is so temporary. We need to use some of those things that we find pleasure in as a way to seek happiness. That's what we're going to learn over the next few weeks. You know, again, we could talk about all kinds of things. We could talk about drugs. And by the way, let me just say this, because I've had this question. Drugs also include marijuana. They also include marijuana. Now, look, I'm not going to get on. Don't look at me and say, oh, don't get on that, Pastor. First of all, don't tell me what to do. Secondly, best way to get me to talk about it is tell me not to, because I'm a jerk like you are. But listen, that's, you know, I have people that say to me, well, Pastor, we need that. I have couples that say to me, Pastor, we just need that as a couple. We can't get along if we don't smoke a joint together. There's a problem with that. Look, there's a problem. And the problem is not your choice to, you know, look, and you can make, and honestly, you can make a very valid argument for legalization of it. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to do that, but it's possible you can. You can say, well, it's no different than this, and you're right. But my point is, if it comes to the point where you say, look, I can be at home alone as long as I've got a joint and be happy, no, you can't. And there are some people, they think if you had to choose between your wife and your weed, which one can't you live without? What if you have to make that choice? What if you have to make that choice? I'll tell you what, you may have to make that choice. Look, again, some of you are like, okay, I'm never coming back here again because I thought this was a cool church and I thought he was the coolest pastor and now he's on the... I'm not downing you for whatever you do in your private business. What I'm saying is, if you make that your primary goal, that pleasure you get from that, it's going to be gone as soon as the high wears off. And you're left unhappy. Empty. Unhappy. And miserable. But there's an alternative to this. There's a positive side to this, because here's what he said was, he said, if you seek the pleasure for your flesh, you'll reap corruption. But watch the second half of the verse, and I'll begin to wrap this up then. The second half of the verse says, but if you sow to the Spirit, in other words, if you sow the things that the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit could harmonize with, could be good with, then you will of the Spirit reap life. Life, that's happiness and pleasure. He said, look, you can have the best. You can have both. Okay, let me just get real plain. I don't think we have any small children in the room. You are undermining your happiness as a single person if you are seeking happiness as a pleasure through sex. If you think you're going to find yourself happy hooking up, going through the Tinder route or whatever all those other things, all those things are that people are doing online. I know some of you are saying, dude, get with the program. Look, I know this much. I know that if you will pursue happiness with God's plan for the intimate life, then you will have both happiness and pleasure. Amen. But you will not get happiness hooking up. You'll get an STD. That's fact, Jack. Who said that? I don't remember who said that. Oh, Bill Murray said that in Stripes. Squirrel. Look, that's truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. You can be happy doing things that sow or make decisions or program things into your life that will by their very definition. God said if you'll program these things into your life, they will automatically bring you some happiness. Can I tell you what one of those is? Coming to church. I'm being straight with you. You know, you come regularly and come early. I should not see you. Hey, look at me. I should not see you for the first time After the worship's done, and I step up on the platform and look out here, I'm down here, and there's like, you know, 50 empty chairs. By the time I get up here after the worship's all done, there's like 20 empty chairs. And that means there's a whole bunch of you come in after 10 o'clock. And I know, I said this a couple weeks ago, I'm sorry. I know we keep changing the time on you. Really? Come early. Because it's not about, it's not even about church. It's about being with God's people. How can you build a relationship with somebody when you come and all you have just a couple of minutes trying to navigate your way through these aisles at greeting time? You see what I'm saying? So happiness doesn't just happen. There are things you could program into your life. Forgo the temporary pleasure of pornography for the permanent happiness of a loving relationship. Forgo the temporary pleasure of an affair. Forgo the temporary pleasure of an affair that you're thinking about right now. Oh, I didn't mean you. I mean the person behind you. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the look behind you. Look, is an affair pleasurable? Yeah. I don't know that from personal experience. Oh, let's just pray. Let's just pray the invitation. Look, I'm sure that it is. I'm sure that it is. Because when we seek pleasure, we usually find pleasure. But pleasure is very, very temporary. Unless it's a part of happiness. So forego those kind of temporary pleasures for some permanent things. You know, and again, I know there are some people who would say, look, don't judge me, Pastor. I'm happy the way I am. No, you're not. You're not. That's why you feel this constant need to be seeking pleasure. Because you say, well, it felt so good. Let me ask you something. That person that you hooked up with 2 weeks ago, is that pleasure still with you? No. No. But the guilt is. The guilt is. You know, the heartache of that person didn't call you back. You know, he won't even return your text. You know, this is the stuff that a lot of our singles are going through. And so I'm not judging anybody. I'm just simply saying that what you're experiencing is pleasure on a very temporary basis. And we could talk about all of these things. You know, I could go into lots of examples. I just wanted to give you this concept today and I'm done. The biggest key to truly finding happiness is learning the things that God says, put this in your life because I guarantee you will find some happiness from that. Put this into your life and I guarantee you will find some happiness in your life. But here's why we don't do it. Because this whole principle, sowing and reaping or whatever you want to call it, actions leading to predictable results, we don't want to do today something that we're not going to get rewarded for today. Because that's how we are. We want immediate gratification. But God said, look, if you could just sow some things into your life, put some things into practice, put some things in your life, program them into your daily routine. And I'm not, and again, this is not going to get churchy. I promise you, it's not going to be churchy. I'm not talking about reading your Bible. I'm not talking about prayer, although those are great things. Those are great things. And you'll find that be very good. Those aren't the things I'm talking about, though, in the next couple of weeks. I'm talking about real life stuff that we deal with every single day. But God says, if you program your life this way, you cannot help but find that your personality changes. Have you ever met a grouch? Do you know anybody that you hate to see come? Do you have anybody in your life you never, ever, ever say, hey, how you doing? Because you already know they're miserable and you're going to hear about it for 10 minutes. Right? We all know people like that. But we don't have to be like that. And God says, you're going to have a hard time changing who you are until you first start purposefully programming some things that I say will bring you some happiness. That's what I want for the people at New Hope. What I would love for you to do today, and this is, I know this is a little unusual, kind of just an introductory message, didn't get into the meat of this subject. I will start that next week. But I would surely love for all of us to just say, okay, God, if you'll show me some things to put into my life that will produce happiness, I will try some of those things. And then I would also like for us to all kind of look at our lives and ask ourselves, what are the things right now that I do on a pretty regular basis that bring me unhappiness? I can tell you what one of them is: watching the news. I'm serious. You hang on the news, I'm dead serious. I'm not saying we shouldn't know what's going on in the world, but if you're one of those that's what you live for, you don't realize you've got a serious addiction. Your addiction to politics, your addiction to everything bad that's happening, the anger that you... What's it producing in your life? Look, I thought I was done. I'm not. Just bear with me for a minute. Look, I'm serious. You see, but it's a righteous cause. It's making you miserable. It's making you angry. It's making you as angry as I am on the road. That's bad. That's really, really bad. So I've decided I'm going to stop driving anywhere. You all just phone me. I'll talk to you. You know, we'll FaceTime our appointments from now on. Look, what is it in your life? What are you doing in your life? Seriously. Who are you hanging around with? Who are you listening to? What blog are you reading? What this, what that? Look, if Facebook brings you down, why do you look at it? Why do you look at it? If calling this person always makes you feel bad, why do you call her? Why do you call him? You say, well, because that's my child, that's my mom, that's my aunt, that's my... I've said this before. Look, you grandparents, there are plenty of children around the world that need a grandparent. If yours are horrible, pick another one. You think I'm kidding? Pick another one. Pick one who's not. Why not? Say, well, it's blood. Bible says we're all of one blood. We're all of one blood. Give your attention to somebody who deserves it. Give your money to somebody who deserves it. I don't know how I got on that. Stop hanging out with people. Stop doing things. We need to look at our lives and just identify. Look, I'm not telling you what to do. I apologize. I shouldn't have said that. Please look at your life and just identify those things. What is it that you have going on in your life right now that you know is predictable? The results are always predictable. You know what it's going to do to you. Now, if one of those is, well, every time I come to church, I get upset. Forget that one. Go ahead and keep coming. But everything else. Say, well, Pastor, you're the one that I get. Everything else. Let's make some good choices. Let's pray.